Praise the Lord. Okay, well, let's do a little exercise tonight. Y'all want to do some exercise? I got several things that I was going to do tonight, but let's do some exercise first and see how good you're doing. And if you can't bench press the amount you should, then we'll have to go do some teaching. But let's do some. Turn with me to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. We won't be doing anything necessarily new tonight that you haven't learned, so sometimes you need to get some learning under your belt. You need to get some education. And so we do quite a bit of that, teaching and helping you. But sometimes you just need to use what you already got. And we'll just read some scripture together and let the Spirit of God light us up so that we can partake of it. Because I know that you forgot all the promises. Don't look at your Bible. Look up here. Tell me one promise from Psalm 34. See, we're going to go to Psalm 34 so you remember. You don't necessarily have to know the chapter and verse, so that was a trick question. But at the same time, let's go remind ourselves. Praise the Lord. Verse 1, Psalm 34, verse 1, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Go ahead and do that. Glory, 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 glory. We magnify his name. We magnify his name. We magnify his name. My soul boasts. Come on, my soul's thinking big things about my God. My God is a big God. He's a great God. He's my God. It says in here, the humble shall hear of it and be glad. So right in this room, the humble are real glad about all this. If you're not glad, you better work on getting humble. If you're not glad about a bunch of people yelling and screaming about God, you're going to have to learn how to get humble. Amen. You might be a little bit too selfish, a little bit too self-focused, a little bit too something. Verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me.
Glory.
Say that out loud. Say, I sought the Lord. And he heard me.
He heard me. Hallelujah.
Come on, listen. He's already heard you. He's already heard you. He heard you. He's already heard us.
He heard us.
We know what happens.
And delivered me. He delivered me from all my fears. So I don't have any fear. He delivered me from all. Say it like that in the past. Say, he delivered me from all my fears.
He delivered me from all my fears. Glory, he did it. Woo!
I'm not afraid of anything anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not anxious or worried about anything anymore.
Nothing.
Come on, you need to let him deliver you from your money fears.
Come on.
You need to let him deliver you from your money fears. You need to say this a little bit until you can get free from your money fears. You'll have enough money. He'll come through. I said, you'll have enough money. He'll come through. You'll have plenty. He'll come through. He'll always come through. You'll have plenty. Money's not an issue. Don't be worried about it. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles.
Hallelujah.
Come on, he saved you out of all your troubles. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps round about or all around those who fear him and delivers them. Let's say it out loud. Say,
the angel of the Lord
encamps around me.
Encamps around me.
Woo! Woo!
And delivers me.
I'm delivered. I'm safe.
Safe.
The angel of the Lord makes me safe.
Yep.
I'm not afraid at home.
Not afraid.
I'm not afraid in the car. He encamps around me, and I'm safe. I'm safe from all my enemies. I don't care who's after me. I am safe. I mean, you got to ask yourself a question. Is it true or not? He said it. It says he encamps. I mean, this actually comes from the Spirit. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him. You have an honor and respect toward God? You believe God? Then he's encamped around you. Who could get you? This will change your life, but you got to believe it. You got to say it till you believe it. You got to act like it's true. You can't be intimidated and scared all the time. And only you know what you're scared of. Oh, I just that just scares me to death. Psalms 34:7 will change you so you don't act like that. Talk like that. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Come on, in these church, in churches that believe this, we're expecting everybody gets to taste that he's good. Come on, that's a thing. That's a thing. It's an actual thing. Taste and see that the Lord is good. In church services, you should taste and see. When you read your Bible, you should taste and see. If you walk with God for a week, you should taste and see. Let me taste that. Can I taste yours? Let me taste that. You can taste the Lord, and you can see that he's good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. So do you trust in God? Then you're blessed. So you are blessed. I prayed for somebody in Liberia. He said, I need you to pray for me because everything I touch is cursed. Everything I do fails. He was an older gentleman. I prayed for him. I preached to him. I commanded this devil off of him. I said, from this day forward, don't you ever say that again, because things are going to change and you'll see it. You got to change your mindset and change your heart, change your faith, change your belief before God can see it come to pass, help it come to pass. Blessed is the man who trusts him. You trust in God, you're blessed. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Made happy. I'm made happy. I'm favored. Made happy. I'm blessed. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There's no want to those who fear him, or no lack. Does your Bible say want or lack? There is no want or no lack to those who fear him. So do you fear God? I'm talking about healthy respect, healthy honor toward God, not being scared of God, healthy honor and respect toward his word, toward him. If so, there's no lack. So say that loud. Say, there's no lack. Because I honor God. I have no want, no lack. I'm full. I'm complete in Christ. I have no lack. I have everything I need. I have everything I want. And if I want something new, he'll give it. Because the scripture says there's no want for me. So listen. None of you in here have any lack. Amen. Quit acting like it. Quit thinking it. Come on, if you can change your thinking, it'll get into your heart and you will be trusting instead. If you trust in the Lord, you will have no lack. That means you'll have gas for the car and you'll have a car. Bring it all the way into the car business. Bring it all the way into your job. Bring it all the way into whatever family needs you have. Hallelujah. You can go from apartment to house if you want to. Or you can stay in the apartment and be richer. No, I don't know. You decide what you need, what you want, and you trust God. Don't you worry. You act like you got plenty. Amen. And then you'll have plenty. Faith has to come before you see the thing happen. Well, you know, if I ever had enough money, then I wouldn't worry. Yeah, you would. You'd be worried. People that every level of income you make adds new worries. And most people live a lifestyle up to that, and then you're still broke. and then another one, and then you're still lacking, and you never have enough. Nobody, like, when are you going to stop thinking that you need another raise? You can't live like that. You can't live thinking, well, if I could just get another, if I could just get, that's lack. You're living lack. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You got to be content. Let us therefore be content, because you know you can't take it with you. When are you going to be content? When are you going to finally get to a place of contentment about your finances? What age would it take? What amount in the bank would it take? Well, if I just win that lottery, then it'd solve all my problems. Well, so the lottery is kind of your God. Because money could turn out to be a god. You can't serve God and money. Right. See, that's why he said it that way. It's because some people look to money as their source of comfort, their source of livelihood, their source of life. But I thought God is your source. Right. You got to make the decision and then force it into your life. So amen. Quoting scriptures like this out loud, this is what we're doing. The reason we're saying them out loud, this is faith exercising.
Right.
And so if you'll exercise, you'll get stronger in faith. What? Yeah, you got to exercise. You got to say it out loud and say it out loud and say it out loud so you can grow in your faith.
Hallelujah.
I know you already would say that this is true. I mean, I believe that if I would, you know, put 125 on the bench press, I believe that I could get stronger. But you're going to have to start benching. You're going to start pushing. So there's no want. I have no want. Say it out loud. Close your eyes. Say, I have no wants.
I have no wants.
I have no lacks.
I have no lacks.
I'm content.
I'm content.
God is my supply.
God is my supply. God is my supply.
Praise the Lord.
I have no want. God is my supply.
The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Okay, so let's say that one. Say, I seek the Lord.
I seek the Lord.
I'll not lack any good thing.
I'll not lack any good thing.
I don't lack any good thing.
I don't lack any good thing.
Praise the Lord. I don't lack any good thing. Listen, to be honest, I have not felt that I lack something since I got in the kingdom of God. Before I got in the kingdom of God, even though I was making a lot of money, I was always thinking, I got to have more, got to have more, got to get the new thing, got to have enough for this, got to do this, got to plan for this, got to do this, got to do this. And then I got in the kingdom, it's like, I don't lack any good thing. If I want it, I can have it. I could have bought a boat long time ago. Could have bought a boat, didn't want it. You don't have to have a boat to be happy. In my group of friends, everybody had boats. Matter of fact, after my friend and I had bought a boat together, just a little boat to go hunting in, but after I got in the kingdom, I let him have the whole thing. Didn't even ask for the money. You can just take it. I wanted to give. I didn't need anything. Didn't feel like I needed anything. You know, a boat will just take up your weekend. A boat will interfere with your church business. So you got to be careful if you're going to spend money on a boat. But the best, you know, the best day of your life is when you buy the boat. Second best day of your life is when you sell it. But if your lifestyle is fishing and hunting and stuff like that, well, you need a boat. So I like boats. I'm appreciative when a friend has a boat. Let's go boating. Verse 11, come, you children, listen to me. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. Okay, let's skip down here. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry.
Hallelujah.
The eyes of the Lord are open to the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. So are you righteous?
Yes.
All right, the eyes of the Lord are open to you,
yes.
And his ears are open to your cry.
Hallelujah.
Say it out loud. So
the eyes of the Lord
are on me. And his ears are open to my prayer. He listens to me.
He listens to me.
You gotta make it special. You gotta realize he listens to you. You don't have to get into this place of, it's a weird thing that we do in prayer, like, okay, I'm gonna drum up some good words and see if I can stay in a place of coaxing God for a month or two to see if he'll answer my prayer. No, just huddle up with God for a moment. Get real quiet. Thanks, Lord, for listening to me. Here's my request. Thanks, Lord, for answering me and hearing me and eyes upon me. So I want to let you know I love you today. I'm here for you. Use me. Lead me. Thank you. He heard you. He's with you. He'll do exactly what you said. You got to trust him that way. You got to get so intimate with God that you actually believe that your first sentence is enough. Or that your first sentence is heard. Sometimes we try to pull out this whole arsenal of, I got to say a bunch of stuff that I know to prove to God that I'm serious about this business. I don't know how you are in prayer. I only know me. No, I don't do that. But I know that that's a tendency. The tendency is to come into the prayer room kind of lost, kind of uncertain. Can't do that. Verse 17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears, delivers them out of all their troubles. You got any troubles? You don't have to raise your hand, but you got any troubles? You got any troubles? He'll deliver you from all your troubles. He'll deliver you from all your troubles. He'll deliver you from all your troubles. He'll deliver me from all my troubles. Say it out loud. He'll deliver me from all my troubles. He delivers me from all my troubles, all my troubles, all my troubles. He delivers me from all my troubles. So apparently I have no more troubles. I have no more troubles. I have no more troubles. Therefore, I have no more troubles. I have no troubles. He delivers me. All right. Decide that he delivers you from all your troubles, and then quit looking at your trouble as if it's in front of you. Picture it behind you.
Amen.
Faith sees ahead. Go ahead and picture your trouble being over. Rather than, wait, I'm waiting on God. Don't get into that waiting on God to deliver you from your troubles. Go ahead and get past that. Because he said he delivers you from all your troubles, so he must have. I mean, if we need a couple calendar pages to turn, that's another thing. No big deal. I'm going to go ahead and look ahead. Because I cried. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears. He delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. Save such as have a contrite spirit. Basically referring, not that you have to get totally broken in your life. I'm talking about a humble heart. I'm talking about somebody that's lost their life so they can have his life. A contrite spirit, humble heart. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Whatever affliction you have, he'll deliver you out of them all. He delivers me out of them all. The Lord delivers me out of them all. Say it out loud. Say, the Lord delivers me out of all my afflictions. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Plant that into your heart so you don't have broken bones. If you had a broken bone, go ahead and just reverse it. Make sure the thing gets healed.
Amen.
And then
Amen.
Start afresh and say, wait a sec. No more bones get broken on me.
No broken bones ever.
Praise the Lord. See how this works? See how happy you are compared to when you started?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, y'all were pretty happy in the beginning. But at home, you can do this and get yourself happy. At home, you need to learn how to exercise. At home, you need to be saying some word. I mean, it doesn't take too long. It's only taken us so far 20 minutes to get stronger. You know, you work out. You don't work out all day long. Just work out a little bit every day, and you can stay fit, get stronger. But you got to remind yourself of all the good promises of God, that through faith and patience, you inherit the promises, that you cannot forget these promises. You must rehearse these promises. You must say them out loud for them to activate. You can't just silently think, well, God loves me. Well, God loves me. Well, God loves me. There's got to be more than that.
Amen.
There's got to be some actual promise from him that you take on into your heart and say, yay, this shall come to pass for me. Go to Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. We'd like to make sure we read both parts of that. Everybody wants to have their heart's desire. The qualifier is that you delight yourself in the Lord. You delight yourself in the Lord, you'll get what your heart desires. First of all, you'll get the right desire. If you're walking with God, you'll get the right desire, and he'll give you that desire. The qualifier is what? You must delight yourself in the Lord. All right. Now, what does that mean? Everybody look up here. What does delight myself in the Lord mean? What does it mean? Delight myself in the Lord. What does that mean? That means I got to like the thought of God. I got to like praying. It means I got to like what God likes. To delight in him means I'm delighting in his life. So I like God and I like the Holy Ghost. I like things pertaining to the Spirit. And I like things pertaining to the Lord Jesus Christ. That means I like his word. That means I like reading the Bible. That means I like sitting in church hearing it taught. That means I'm not afraid to open up this Bible. I like this. That means I don't mind the time I spend at church. It means I like going to church where his body is. And so if you find a Christian who doesn't like church, they are not quite delighting in God. Because church is not man's idea, it's God's idea. Assembling together was never man's idea. Man would never choose that. Man would never choose to assemble unless there was food and drinks. This is not man's idea. So to delight in God means you delighting in the things he delights in. That's why you need to start really liking it when somebody gets saved. You know, and that's a spiritual thing. That's why you got to tell your flesh, be happy about that. It's like, oh yeah, how many people got saved this week? One, two. Yeah. That's wonderful. Why don't you get a little happier about it? Just delight in the fact that this gospel worked again. I heard you got real happy when the withered hand got healed. How about all the other stuff that happens? So if you'll start delighting in the Lord, then your desires will come to pass a lot quicker. So let's say it out loud. Say, I delight in the Lord, and he'll give me my heart's desire. And that settles it. So those things that I deem necessary and good and wonderful that I desire in some way, he'll give those to me. And I'm not worried about getting them. I'm just going to keep delighting in him. He'll give me all the my heart's desire. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also him. He'll bring it to pass. Have you committed your way? Have you committed your way? Have you put it on the table? Like I did in Africa, I put it on the table. I committed my way. I'll stay here forever if you want me to. I committed my way. I didn't feel him say yes, so I went and put it back on the American table. I committed my way. He'll bring it to pass. Okay? You do have to filter your way through the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Just to make sure it's the will of God. You commit to the Lord and he'll bring it to pass. You start a business, filter it through the Holy Spirit. You commit to doing it, he'll help you get there. But you got to commit to it.
Right.
Your faith has to take a step before he can actually fulfill something. He'll bring it to pass if you've committed to it. The problem is we only halfway commit. It's a good idea. Okay, let's try it. No, you're not committed. You got to pray in the Holy Ghost till you know. Pray it through until you get the green light. And then with faith, you take a step and then you get grace.
Amen.
You can't just dabble around and say, well, let me see. Should I? How does that feel? No. Faith doesn't do that. Faith knows exactly where the Holy Ghost is saying, take the step. And then you got to take the step.
Amen.
He'll bring it to pass. He'll bring it to pass. He'll bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. That's an interesting way to say it. Praise the Lord. Light's coming. Noonday's coming. Justice is coming. Justice is coming just as sure as 12 p.m. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Don't fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. But do not fret. It only causes harm. What is fret? Well, worry, anxiety, frustration, confused, discombobulated, wanker-jawed. Caddy-whompered. Do not fret, it only causes harm. Do not worry, it only causes harm. You know, you've harmed yourself with worry. You've harmed yourself with worry. You've harmed yourself with anxiety. You've harmed yourself sitting there wondering and confused and frustrated and upset, dreading something, intimidated by something. What ifs? You've harmed yourself. And the doctors will tell you the same thing. Medical science says that many diseases, most diseases, are psychosomatic.
Right.
Meaning they come because of your anxiety and your fears. And it causes your immune system to deplenish. Deplenish?
Preach it.
Unplenish.
Preach it.
Reduce. Get weaker. And so you've harmed yourself, not only spiritually, but you've harmed yourself physically by worrying. So when will you quit? What's it going to take for you to quit worrying? When will you actually trust God? Well, I'll tell you how, because y'all know you want to. Y'all know you shouldn't. Y'all want to trust God more. So here's how you do it. You got to say something out loud. Say this out loud. Say, I'm not fretting.
I'm not fretting.
Anymore.
Anymore.
Say it again. I'm not fretting.
I'm not fretting.
Ever again.
Ever again.
Ever again.
Ever again.
I'm not going to worry ever again. I'm not going to harm myself anymore by worrying. That settles it. I'm not going to worry anymore. Got it?
Yeah.
This is how you fix yourself. You need to be fixed, don't you? We need to fix you. This is how you bring it to pass for your life.
Amen.
You must say it.
Amen.
You must say it with conviction until it's settled in your heart. So are you worried? Are you fretting? Ever again?
No.
Are you going to fret ever again?
Never.
What about when somebody treats you wrong? You going to fret?
No.
What about when somebody offends you? Are you going to fret?
No.
What about when you don't get your way? Are you going to fret?
No.
When are you going to, what could cause you to fret tomorrow?
Nothing at all.
Think about it. What could cause you to fret? You know your weakness. What could it be? What could it possibly be? Is it from little stuff to big stuff? Little stuff to big stuff. Some people are worried about their toaster at the house being plugged in, stuff like that. Other people are concerned and fretting about their children and their grandchildren and the mall and the streets and, you know, oh my gosh, I just couldn't bear to think. Oh, that's one. That's one. I just couldn't bear it if you quit that. That right there is a fret and a worry and a dread. And it's going to rob you. It'll rob you of trust toward God. So you're going to have to say this until something changes in your life. All right. But I can't make you work out, right? Like none of you look physically any more muscular than you did in December. Y'all got the same old body style going that you did last year. So I know that that one didn't work for you. The only ones that got any more... leanness to them are the same ones that had it last year. And I can't make you do spiritual stuff either at home. I can't make you say these words until it takes you and forms inside you and engrafts into your being so that you act differently. Right? For verse 11, the meek shall inherit the earth. And shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace.
Glory.
This is a fun one.
I got peace.
Say it this way. I get the earth.
I
I get the whole earth. You're wondering about what inheritance you're going to get from so-and-so in the earth? You get the whole earth. The meek inherit the whole earth. I get the whole earth. You stay humble, you stay meek, you get the whole earth. Close your eyes and say that out loud. Say, I get the whole earth. The whole earth is mine, mine, mine. Don't sit there thinking, I don't need the whole earth. I just need a little portion. Yeah, but which portion you get is up to you. The meek inherit the earth. They get the whole earth.
Praise the Lord.
The whole earth is God's, right? Everything in it is God's. Well, I'm in God. I get the whole thing. The Son gets the inheritance of the Father. So you get the whole thing. Everything's yours. It's all yours. Anything you need today is yours. That's how you need to start living your life. All things are yours. The Bible says, New Testament, all things are yours. Christ is yours. Paul is yours. Apollos is yours. The church is yours. Preachers are yours. Everything that is necessary in life is yours. Need a donkey? You got a donkey. You need money? You got money. You need food? You got food. Need an upper room? You got an upper room. Anything you need in life, it's yours. All yours.
Amen.
If you have any faith, you can trust God. You can have whatever you need
That's
in
right.
life.
Amen.
Isn't that marvelous?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let's say it again. Say, I get the whole earth. And I get abundance of peace. Praise the Lord. I know you want to say verse 12 and 13, but we're not going to laugh at the wicked. Oh, let's go ahead and laugh at the wicked. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. So let's go ahead and pick the devil and his demons and all the people that love the devil and his demons, and let's just laugh at him. Sometimes people will come to our church and people will be laughing at different times in the service. Maybe the Holy Spirit kind of breaks out or something. And they're like, I don't know about all this laughing. That's one of the reasons for the laughter. The Lord laughs. And part of it's to laugh at the devil because he looks ugly and mean and tough, but he's not. He's not. You have to get over that he does seem to throw these huge problems in your way, but really, if you could laugh over that, it would really decrease his power in your life. Because
right.
We know in the end, we're going to look at him and say, is this the man that made the nations tremble? Verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Let's say that one out loud. Let's say this. My steps
are ordered by the Lord.
And he delights in my way.
My steps are ordered by God.
And he delights in me.
He
likes watching me walk this out.
Yep.
Praise the Lord.
Sometimes
we start thinking that how hard it is when you have an issue or a challenge or a tribulation you got to walk through. He likes watching you endure through it.
He likes
watching you use your faith to go right through it and trust him with a smile on your face. He's not real delightful if you're fretting through it. He's not real happy to see you fretting and worrying yourself through troubles. But he sure likes to watch you walk the way. So my steps are ordered by the Lord. Well, it says the steps of a good man. Don't exempt yourself from that, right? Well, if I was good... Well, okay, if you don't feel like you're good, why don't you be good? Why don't you just get good? Start being good. Start being good. When are you going to start being a goody-goody? How many goody-goodies do we have in here? Any goody-goodies? Raise your hand. It's a good name. It's a goody-goody, and the world is bad. Because you're not being crazy. Goody-goody is good.
That's right.
Be a goody-goody. In school, they used to say, well, he's such a goody-goody to somebody, you know. It's like it was a bad thing. It's a good thing.
Amen.
And really, you don't have to look at it as behavior. It's, you know, God has put himself inside you. There's some good thing in there.
Amen.
Christ is already in you. You're already in Christ. Something's good. You may need a little touch-up in the mirror, but you're still good. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about the mirror. You might need a little touch-up.
Come on.
Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Say that one, the Lord upholds me with his hand. Seems like I've fallen, but the Lord upholds me with his hand. So I'm getting back up, getting back up, getting back up, getting back up. You may feel lukewarm in your walk. You may feel backslidden in your walk. This is how you get back up. Say it. Say, I'm getting back up. The Lord upholds me. Even though I fell, I'm getting back up. He upholds me. He won't let me stay down. I'm getting back up, getting back up, getting back up, getting back up. Verse 25, only a few people can say it. I've been young, now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Listen, the Lord is really that faithful that really never has a righteous person, righteous by faith, ever had lack. So you make sure that you're righteous, that's in Christ. And then you make sure you trust God, you'll never have lack. You'll always have plenty of food. Like right now, I bet every single one of you could go by any fast food restaurant and get yourself some food. They say that's not really food. I say it's food. McDonald's, it's food. Aren't you glad your kids aren't in here? Yeah. Mommy, the pastor goes to McDonald's. All right, it's getting late, I guess. Verse 26, he's ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. The righteous who walk with God and have faith toward God actually are very merciful, and they lend and they give. They're generous. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's skip to verse 29. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever.
Hallelujah.
The righteous inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Now, we've already established the fact that Christians don't really have a land in the earth right now. Our land is heaven. And we will dwell there forever after 1,000+ years. So heaven is we inherit that land. At the same time, you could also count it for the 1,000-year reign. You're going to inherit some land. Which land? Whichever land you want. The whole earth is yours. You can't have my land. I'll be having my own land. Talking about the saints' life from the rapture on, all the saints are living in the holy city in Jerusalem.
That's right.
And I'm wondering, who's going to own this property? And then I start realizing, wait a second, I think we will. It's your church here. It's going to be our church then. And we'll just translate from Jerusalem to here for every church service reaching the city. In the 1,000-year reign, we're still going to reach this city. It's our city. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know what he's talking about. I thought we were just going to go floating on clouds. No. You're going to go have supper with Jesus,
right.
7 years,
right.
And then you're coming back to rule.
Right.
What are you going to rule?
Here.
Where are you going to rule from?
Here.
Praise the Lord. That's why we keep our campus nice and tidy so that it's ready for us when we come back. Now, I don't know exactly how that works, so you may want to be in Antarctica, I don't know, for your inheritance. I've said the word Antarctica a couple times because I sat next to somebody on a plane and there was like five or six of them. They were traveling to Antarctica on the same, so they had to catch this flight to, and I'm like, okay, well, that sounds fun. All right, praise the Lord. Verse 37, mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace.
Hallelujah.
Mark the upright. Come on, you're made righteous. You stand before God. It does take a little backbone to walk by faith and overcome this world and sin and the flesh and all that. But mark that man, because the end of that man is peace. Let's say that out loud. My future is peace. My future is peace. I walk with God, my future is peace. I have nothing to worry about. Tomorrow is peace. Praise the Lord. Let's not think future some way out there. Talk about tomorrow. It's your future. Tomorrow you can have peace. I don't want to hear any of you complaining about tomorrow. Tomorrow is peaceful for you. You can have peace tomorrow. Will you do it?
Yes.
Will you fight for it?
Yes.
What do I mean fight for? Fight to believe that you can have peace tomorrow in the midst of chaos.
Yes.
Fight to realize that tomorrow you can have peace even though you can't control everything that goes on.
Amen.
Tomorrow you get peace. Yes. And if you remember it, then remember that all of us are having peace tomorrow. You should. You ought to be upset sometimes thinking, man, everybody else is all having a good peaceful day except for me. You're having peace. Go ahead and say this. I'm having peace tomorrow.
Peace.
My future is peaceful.
My future is peaceful.
Praise the Lord. And that word peace could be everything. Wholeness, right? Nothing missing, nothing broken. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for joining Pastors Chaz and Joni today from Houston Faith Church. If you're looking for a good home church in Houston, Texas, we'd like to invite you to be our guest anytime. What you'll find is the Houston Faith Church is highly committed to the Word of God, the love of God, and the Spirit-filled life and ministry that Jesus expects. We know that everyone wants to make a difference in this life, and that the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing for all of us. You'll find your purpose here and grow strong in faith at Houston Faith Church. Find more faith-building resources on our YouTube channel or subscribe to our free audio podcast. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. See you soon.